Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Tony Knopp, CEO of Sports Spotlight Ticket Management, joins us tomorrow. Dick Girardi from Pimlico on the Preakness on Friday as we talk ponies. Vince Welsh, 8 days away. Indianapolis 500. Jim Nance looks like next week. Working on Marco Andretti. Working on Mike Tirico. So that's what we have coming up. U.S. Open will be there next month at the U.S. Open Golf Championship.
Yeah, you keep saying U.S. Open, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's golf. That's right. Because there is another U.S. Open, you know.
In tennis, yes.
But it's not in June.
No, it's during football season, which means our odds of being there, slim to none.
Slim to none. And Slim, I mean, just left the building.
I will be in the New York area during the U.S. Open, the middle weekend, but it's for Penn State football at MetLife Stadium.
When is the U.S. Open this year?
It is the final week of August, first week of September. Should conclude September 8th, if I recall correctly. At Flushing Meadow.
I've learned never to doubt you on dates and memory things.
So.
Let's see. Now, I don't go to, no, we won't be in New York until November. Well, that's not
you
true. I'll be in Ithaca, but that's nowhere near New York City.
You're correct about that. well done, Rand McNally. Bottom of the Finger Lakes, not quite near the Big Apple.
I'll be sampling some wine while there.
Yes, you should, because there are outstanding vineyards up and down the beautiful Finger Lakes. Whether it's Cayuga Lake, Seneca Lake, incredible. From Canandaigua to Geneva to Watkins Glen to Ithaca to Auburn, points in between.
See, this show's not always about sports. I mean, we get into geography, we get into wine.
Penn Yan, which is on the west side of Seneca Lake.
Oh, I thought that was a type of wine for a minute.
No, it's halfway down. It's a town.
How do you spell it?
P-E-N, yeah. Capital Y-A-N, Penn Yan.
Hmm.
It should be halfway down the western side of Seneca Lake in New York.
Well, I found
it. If I recall correctly.
Let's see. Oh, it's actually at the top of one of the lakes.
Okay.
The one that begins with a K.
Okay.
But you're right. Seneca Lake is right next door. I mean, it's not far away, but.
Yes. Okay.
But you're right. Well, it's about midway up Seneca Lake, but it's on the top of the, was it Cayuga?
Okay. Well done.
No, it's not me. It was called Google.
Okay. Well, I was just trying. Watkins Glen is at the bottom of Seneca Lake.
That I did know, just north of the Horseheads area.
Yes, Horseheads. But you'll be going to Ithaca, nowhere near Manhattan.
No.
On the other hand, I will be on the Jersey side of Manhattan.
Is there a Jersey side of Manhattan?
Sure. When you look out to the west, that's Jersey.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, MetLife Stadium. So I'll be there in the middle time, but the U.S. Open Golf Championship is at Marion and Ardmore. We are a part of the mix. We'll also be at the Pocono International Raceway this summer as well. Kevin has a setup in turn two.
Right underneath the tunnel turn.
Fabulous.
Actually, you know where I'd like to be? I wish they had seats.
I know. I In fact, you know, we've had a vote as to where people like to put you.
I wish the Pocono would put seats near Turn 1 and the Long Pond Straight, because I think that is a very, very entertaining spot to be spectating. I was there on the years ago for NASCAR race on the infield side. But, you know, watching the cars get into that turn and going from almost 200 miles an hour down to about 130, that's fun.
What?
Did you disappear?
What?
What are you saying what about? What are you saying what to?
You like it when cars decelerate. Okay? The rest of America is into how fast can you go?
But you missed the art of the race. Do we have to get into this again? Do I have to educate you again?
It's a race! Pedal to the floor! Go!
But the art of the race is when you're trying to make that turn at the fastest possible speed, trying to duck in underneath the guy ahead of you.
You just told the audience how much you appreciated Bryce Harper going into the wall. Now you're telling us that you should back off the pedal.
I did not. No.
Into the little turn.
Well, you can't do 200 miles an hour into that turn. It is physically impossible.
Then make a track where it happens. I want to watch speed.
Then you need to watch drag racing, then.
Oh, that only lasts seconds.
I'm not arguing with you.
I want something sustained. I want to make feel like they're racing out there, not like, oh, here comes the turn. Let's go. Chop, chop. I speak for America.
So this is, you want to hear this constantly.
I want speed.
Then you are not a supporter of the restrictor plate in NASCAR, I take it.
Get rid of the thing. I want fast.
I'm not a fan of it either. Let me say that right now.
Push it. Push the limit. I speak for America. Push it. It's what America's all about.
Oh, boy.
What?
I've created a racing monster.
I want acceleration.
Faster.
Yeah. And the second Jimmy Rollins decelerates on the bases, you'll be like, I can't believe he dogged it. You are a double standard person.
There's no reason to dog it on the. There's no reason to decelerate on the bases.
You're afraid.
I have to decelerate to get to first.
You're a double standard person.
You so twisted everything I said.
What's good enough for Marco Andretti is not good enough for Jimmy Rollins.
You twisted everything.
I haven't twisted a thing. I'm saying I want speed.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with the speed.
It's like the little girl in the Verizon commercial. We want more. We want more. Come on.
Listen, I never said I was against speed. I like the fact that they have to be strategic getting into that turn.
You just said that you want to sit in the spot where you watch people go slower. You want to go in for 200, 130. That's like the ideal spot for you. I want to be in the spot where they're flying by and I can't see them.
No, because I'll be in that spot anyway. That's called the grandstand and the 1 mile front stretch at Pocono. That's what that is.
But you want to be in the spot where they go slower.
No, I want to be in the spot where they're at the peak of their speed and they have to make a move. Whether it's keeping your foot to the floor and not making the turn or easing off just a little bit and making the pass.
Spot. You want to be in the spot where they go from 200 to 130.
Yeah, but
am I correct?
Yeah, but it's not for 800 miles. I mean, it's like for a split second.
Yes, but they're going to go by there 200 times. You want to see them slow down 200 times. I want to see them for 200 times going around going fast.
I'm done. I give. You have beaten me into submission.
I want to see acceleration. You want to make this into 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Okay, back down. There's a light.
No, I live that. You don't have to worry about that. I live that trip.
Here we go. Hey, Danville, hey, we're talking to you out there. Kevin loves the way you drive on 54. Just back her down.
Have you ever ridden in the Autobahn?
No, I have not.
That would be a spot for you then. It's straight and it's fast. There you go.
Good. Then race there.
I give. I submit.
I mean, you like races like Sao Paulo where they like decelerate down to 40 and then pick back up to 85 and down to 40. It's like, that's not racing.
That's not racing.
It's not racing. It's like, oh, for goodness sake. I see that every single day on 147. Come on.
That's not racing.
It's not. I mean, I see that on 147 every day. Like, hey, I want to see something I don't see every day. Pedal to the floor. Let her lay out. That's what I want. Jimmy Rollins does that. You get all upset. Dominic Brown does that. You want him cut and sent back to Lehigh Valley. Marco Andretti does it. Thing of beauty. It's part of the art. You're a double standard guy.
I give.
Ryan Howard does it. Well, it's not intentional. That's the only speed he knows. But I mean,
that is top speed.
That is top speed. Goes. No, that's the fastest dude goes. I got it.
No, they should put they should put stands there. They should put stands there.
All right, here's my question. Are they selling out?
I don't think they're selling out for any of the three races right now.
That's my point. It's probably why they're not
playing. Oh, no, you're absolutely right.
It's a good idea. It's a good spot to put them in, but I think what the Pocono seats 65,000, if I'm correct.
Your guess would be better than mine. I don't remember. I know what it used to be years ago, but I know they made some changes.
I believe it's 65,000 seats. And now at Indianapolis, they can get 250 to 300,000 people in there.
Yeah,
do get that.
Yep. And that's obviously the largest crowd for a race, but actually it at times is the largest crowd for a sporting event.
Yeah, period. And no organization does a poorer job of building off that momentum than they do.
Sadly, you're correct.
Also, what used to happen was that they dominated the month of May, the whole month.
Yeah, that's the other thing that we did not talk about yesterday. And as a fan, that does bug me.
Well, look, times have changed. All right. But you know what gets me about that, Kevin? In all seriousness, I mean, we've been kidding around here the last 5 minutes about this. Now let's get into the serious nature of this. You would think that when you have a, 24-hour sports channels, which didn't exist before 1979, that they would be able to take advantage of something like this. Where when there was actually less, 4 channels, newspapers, maybe some radio. They took every weekend of the month of May and they made it into an event. Right? Practice day. Right? Followed up with finally the first weekend of qualifying. Then I believe it was the second weekend was the bump weekend.
Well, here's what you
qualifying.
Would.
Then Carburation Day, and then they had the pit yep. stop day. They made it into an event the entire month. Now you have 24-hour coverage on how many different sports channels now? You're about to add F1 in August for Fox. And they ram it into a weekend. They make it seem like, okay, that's the best they can do. And it's...
You're
it's
right.
Nothing.
The last weekend would have been poll weekend. Saturday and then Sunday, and then you would have this Saturday for basically the back half of the field, and Sunday would be the entire day would be bump day,
right?
And the reason they got away from it, Steve, and this is from watching it for so many years and hearing commentary on it for so many years, but the reason I think they got away from it being the entire month and two full weekends, there were so many hours where no one would be on the track because the track temperature would be too hot. So you would have qualifying right away in the morning, which was between 10 and 11 o'clock central, and then you would have all the qualifying late in the day right before the gun went off. but there would be nothing during the day. And I think that's why they got away. This way, they kind of forced the drivers to really get out there and get in line early, especially on pole day, because the next day is going to be bump day.
Yeah, but you know what? They've lost all the momentum over this
thing. I agree with you there. I think there are other ways to do it.
Now, the NBA playoffs, starting in the 80s with Bird and Magic, and transitioning to the Pistons and Michael Jordan, you know, became a big deal. And, of course, now the playoffs, it takes four rounds. And getting ESPN deeply involved in the coverage of the NBA has now made them the primary sport that ESPN covers outside of the NFL. I think they put more effort into covering the NBA than they do Major League Baseball, to be frank with you. Baseball Tonight's a nice franchise and the whole thing, Sunday Night Baseball, Monday game, and Wednesday game. But in terms of actual on-air coverage, okay, from January up right into the end of June, the NBA gets an incredible amount of coverage on ESPN.
They don't even need the NBA network, NBA TV.
No, they don't. But I'm saying, but ESPN, ESPN Radio, ESPN TV, I mean, look, the vast majority of time on ESPN Radio, especially between Colin Cowherd and SVP and Russillo, they're talking about NBA left and right. I'm telling you, there is not that much interest in the country the way they do it. There just isn't. Oh, Carmelo. Yeah, Carmelo averages 1.1 points per shot in the playoffs right now. Do you know how much that stinks? I mean, that's lousy. Gold standard is 1.5. LeBron's averaging 1.8, you know, per shot in the playoffs. Now he has more around him to work with. I mean, no question about that. But the amount of coverage the NBA gets, especially now, is dwarfing everything else. It's dwarfing Major League Baseball. It dwarfs the Stanley Cup playoffs. It dwarfs the Kentucky Derby, it dwarfs the Indianapolis 500. ESPN, which has the contract, has thrown an incredible amount of resources into covering the NBA from radio to TV.
The NBA, NBA on Saturday night.
They made that choice.
Yep, the NBA on Saturday night pulled in $4.9 million. Now, CBS in that same time slot had between 4.2 and 5.7 for NCIS, an NCIS and a CSI rerun, and 48 Hours. 48 Hours actually drew more in the 10 o'clock slot than ABC did with the NBA. And NASCAR on Fox drew a 5.75.
Right.
NBC right. didn't do anything with Smash, The Voice, and SNL.
Right, and Smash is being canceled.
It got smashed.
No, but it's being canceled. They've already announced it's being canceled. And they had announced that before it aired on Saturday. I mean, but that's what it comes down to. And they, you know, they're going to tell you that they have all these massive, incredible ratings. And this, that. No.
But they're still better than IndyCar.
Well, but IndyCar doesn't get above a 1. Now, the Indianapolis 500, that rating, but it's during the day on a Sunday, but it should do pretty well. I would think there will be an NBA game against it, right? Probably is at some point. Well, maybe not. They'll probably program it because since ABC has both, so they'll probably program around it.
Well, let's see. Last year's Indianapolis 500 had more viewers than any time since 08. And let's see, it was a 6.9 million viewers.
Well, is it a 6.9 rating or 6.9 million?
6.9
viewers?
Million viewers. It rated a 4.34.
Well, that's great. But that's a good rating. And then it's a very good rating.
And then in 01, I'm sorry, in 2011, that was the one where there was a crash on turn 4. Dan Weldon ended up winning it. That had a 4.3. A 4.03.
Hildebrand's crash.
Yes.
Yeah, you're shocked, I know. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I have a State College Quarterback Club board meeting tonight. I haven't been to one in 3 years.
Are you a member of the board?
Yes. Well, there's a reason why I haven't been in 3 years. The last 2 years, they've had it when I had the Scranton event. And the other ones happened during baseball season in August. They only have two a year. The last time I was there, they brought up the minutes. You have to vote. I voted no. They said, why? I said just to do it.
Oh, brother.
Who votes no in the minutes?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we welcome everyone back. It's great to have you with us. You know, it's amazing. Times have changed so much. It's one thing. I'm older than Kevin, so I do go back to pre-ESPN. I do go back to a time when there were four channels, ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS.
Those are the only four channels I got for a long time. We didn't have cable where I grew up.
Well, I didn't. You know what? I didn't have cable till I came out here to State College, and at State College, you couldn't get television without cable. You just couldn't. You know, if you go without cable here, you can get Channel 3 and maybe Channel 10 in Altoona. Maybe.
That's why I married my wife, because she had cable at her apartment. And she was nice, but she did have cable. I did spend a few weekends in May, though, watching qualifying on her 13-inch TV. And I said, honey, when we get married, you really got to get a bigger TV.
That is one of the saddest statements I've ever heard. I've met your beautiful wife.
No, she admits it. I understand. We did. We bought a bigger TV as soon as we got married. I'm like, I can't watch your 13-inch TV anymore. It's starting to hurt my eyes. She goes, well, at least you got cable. Stop complaining.
Do you have a flat screen now?
Yeah, now we do, yeah.
In HD?
Of course.
Of course, yes. And how big is that TV?
46.
Ah, very nice.
I think it's 46. Yeah, it was not as big as I wanted, but I had to give up a few. I wanted to go 50, but she said no.
Yeah. Oh. How would you like the Indy 500 in 3D?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, okay. But my point, getting back to the show as we resume, is that things that were mega events when I was younger have now, they're still big events, but they aren't mega events like they used to be. The Indianapolis 500, still a really big event, but not the mega event of 30 years ago. The Kentucky Derby, Preakness, still huge events. I think people get into it. Baseball's All-Star Game was a mega event. Now it is warped into ordinary. I mean, even I like get the baseball's All-Star Game. I go, yeah, you know. I'd rather not have the players on the team I root for playing the game. I'd rather have them have 3 days off. How bad's that?
Yeah, I remember when the All-Star Game was entertaining. I mean, we actually brought a TV out on our porch because it was nice and warm, and we could actually watch it outside. And we'd have, you know, little sparklers and things like that. We'd do part of our little leftovers from the fourth type of thing. But now the game doesn't even interest me, to be quite honest with you, Steve.
No, it really has changed.
That's because we have so many options now. So many options. Whether it's television or whether it's entertainment in front of us. For example, I mean, State College didn't have minor league baseball until 2006. If baseball's All-Star game is on the same night as a Spikes game here in State College, they'll draw 4,000 here at the Spikes game. They really don't think, okay, the All-Star game's gone, so what? I remember doing a Spikes game in Brooklyn one night. It was the night Josh Hamilton went crazy on the home run derby. And I was on doing the State College side, and Boomer Esiason and Carton were doing the game at WFAN. And I made a guest appearance with them. And we were marveling over the Hamilton thing, but they still, it was in Brooklyn that night. They drew 7,000 that night in Brooklyn to watch. They weren't home watching a home run contest. We have so many entertainment options. And some things that were bigger than life 30 years ago are now big, but not bigger than life anymore.
I used to be a huge fan of watching the slam dunk contest. And I'm not an NBA fan, but I'd watch the slam dunk contest.
Mm-hmm. Right, I understand.
And it was the same thing with the All-Star game. You know, it was a treat to be able to watch the home run derby, even in highlights, because that's the only way I got a chance to watch it, because it wasn't on broadcast television. Right. But now it's like I watch the slam dunk competition in beginning to end, or I watch the home run derby beginning to end, and I'll be honest with you, I get bored. It's like, oh, great, he hit the 10th
because
home run
there's
now.
Nothing. Because you feel like you've seen it all.
Exactly. It's like, oh, great, he hit another long home run. Super.
Now,
please make
a
it
game
end.
Is, but a game is different. Games are getting higher rated than ever before. Because there's incredible mystery about games. If you watch, for example, a television show. Now, this week's going to be a little bit different. Okay. Take, for example, tonight's Tuesday night, NCIS and NCIS Los Angeles, right?
I think so, yeah.
But they're two of the highest rated shows on TV. Without question.
Sure.
And what they do is that every week they wrap up everything in 60 minutes. And there's some mystery to it, but they're, you know, it's a fairly predictable outcome, correct?
Yeah, you're able to figure it out.
Now, tonight won't be, because they're trying to hook you for the next season. So tonight there will be cliffhangers for NCIS. There'll be a cliffhanger for NCIS Los Angeles. There will be an air of mystery about it to lure you into September, all right? But for the most part, they wrap it up in 60 minutes. And, you know, every once in a while there's some unpredictability or something happens. It's part of the storyline, especially with shows that have been on for a long time. Sports brings with it, for the most part, an unexpected storyline almost all the time. Bruins and Toronto last night. Okay? They pull the goalie. I mean, I was watching the game when it happened. I picked it up with about 3 minutes to go, and the Bruins were down 4-2. I guess they were down 4-1 at one point. I did not see the second goal. So I'm watching this, and they pull Rask. They put the sixth attacker out there. And Patrice Bergeron scores, and that was Bergeron who did not score that one. It was Lucic scored the goal. All right, and now it's 4-3. Now they had scored a goal with 25 seconds to go with an extra attacker in Toronto, down 2 in Game 6. But I remember it was with 25 seconds to go, and I remember my first thought was they don't have enough time. Last night, when Lucic scored, it was a minute 22 to go, and I thought to myself, they've got plenty of time. And 32 seconds later, Bergeron did score. They went to overtime. Bergeron scored again. They won. There's the unpredictability of sports. You don't expect that to happen. That's not in a script. And that's why people are drawn to sports, is that there is that air of unpredictability about it. You watch the Super Bowl, the Ravens and 49ers. There was an unpredictability about it.
Yeah, when
the
lights
entire time.
No, but I'm talking about like toward the end of the game, the way the 49ers are coming back. I mean, yeah, the lights, whatever. That was a, that happened. But there's an air of unpredictability about the Ravens going into New England and winning. An air of unpredictability about it. The Steelers season had that air of unpredictability about it. Every week you didn't know. You look at, the Philly season, the way it's playing out. Who knows the Phillies don't go out and win 20 of their next 25? You don't know. You don't know. Washington was supposed to be a slam dunk in this thing, right? Far from a slam dunk. They're in second place. The Dodgers were supposed to be all the rage. So were the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. All the rage. Both teams are not doing well at all. Yankees are doing really well. You get to the NBA playoffs, Chicago wins game one at Miami. Now it's reverted to form the last three, but Chicago won the opener. Detroit goes into Anaheim, wins a game seven. Penguins are pushed to six games. I thought the Penguins would win that series in five, and it would feel like they won the series in five. Instead, they went to six, and it felt like seven. They play Ottawa starting tonight. Unpredictability. Drama. Sports brings with it great drama. That's why the rights fees are so high. Penn State's football season, winning eight of their last 10, overcoming a lot of odds to get it done. Penn State, Michigan, Bucknell, Purdue.
You know what also helps out that a little bit too, Steve, is the social media angle, because there are so many games on. You try and find which game is the one that's going to be the most exciting, but then somebody tweets or Facebook messages and you check it out on your phone about this game that they're watching. And last night's a perfect example. I'll bet you a lot of people tuned out of that game and then all of a sudden heard about the comeback and started to tune back in just in time to see maybe overtime. That's helped it a little bit, too.
What got me were all the people in the parking lot that had tickets to say no reentry.
Yeah, then you're in trouble.
I mean, that had to be sick last night. What got me was when he scored with a minute 22 to go, I saw all the people in the aisles turn around and go back to their seats. I thought, that's funny.
but that's where I think social media has helped out sports in that particular aspect.
To a point. I mean, these ratings are long-lasting ratings. I mean, these are long, I mean, it does to a point where people tweet, see this game, what's going on, or whatever. I mean, believe me, I find it on my own. Louisville, Michigan was a great college basketball championship final. You don't need social media for that. People were there from start to finish on that game. People are there start to finish on the Super Bowl. Sports has with it that unpredictability, and I think that's why when it comes to games, I mean, people aren't dumb. The All-Star game is an exhibition game. I don't care about the first two games of the World Series. It's meaningless. And people over time have figured it out. It's meaningless.
So you think, are you alluding to the fact that maybe the World Series needs to go to a one-and-done game?
No, but I'm saying the winner of the All-Star game determines who gets the first two games of the World Series.
Okay, all right. I mistook it for a different angle.
Okay. Fans will watch the Indianapolis 500. They don't care about the Sao Paulo race. People figure things out. And, NASCAR starts with the Daytona 500. The ratings for the rest of the races, the rest of the year, are good, but not Daytona 500 like. It's in February. It's people in the Midwest and the Northeast. It's cold. We'll watch racing in Florida. Looks good. The ratings for the Masters, U.S. Open, are different than they are for the British Open, the PGA. The ratings for the Masters are different than the Greater Hartford Open.
Pick your major events. The Masters, Daytona 500, mm-hmm. Indianapolis 500, Super Bowl, World Series. Now, obviously, the Super Bowl is the most watched. There's no question about that. But when mm-hmm. you compare the rest of them, think about the one thing, and I know I talked about this during the Super Bowl, and I honestly believe this. I think the people, fans want to see a game where one event decides it. You know, the Daytona 500, there's only one Daytona 500 all year long. You don't have a best of five series to get to it. You either win it or you don't, or you wait till next year. Indianapolis the same way. That's what I think is a draw, that a negative in Major League Baseball and the World Series, and even can be a negative in the NBA playoffs and the NHL, because there's all these best of series instead of that one and done. I'm like, this is it. This game is going to decide it. That's why game sevens are exciting.
Well, yeah, they are exciting, but I mean, they've always been decided by a series. So they have to,
tradition
on their side.
I understand, but the Masters, which is more exciting about the Masters, round one or round four?
Well, of course, round four, because the winner's being determined.
Right.
But you need the other rounds to build up to get to that point to draw some interest in what's going on, too. You know, just show up on Sunday, play a round of golf, everybody goes, hey, great. No,
but this goes back to what you were talking about, where
the
everything,
tournament has legs.
But this goes back to what you're talking about, where everything's decided in 60 minutes. You know,
it's the NCIS
mentality.
Right. I'm saying what's different about sports is the unpredictability of it. See, the difference is I can watch NCIS and it's going to be wrapped up in 60 minutes. There'll be a new story next week. Sports doesn't have a storyline to it. Game doesn't have a storyline. What was the Michigan-Penn State storyline in basketball? It didn't quite turn out the way we thought it would, did it?
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point. I see where you're going with that.
Over and over, the unpredictability of sports, Louisville-Michigan national championship game was a great national championship game. Conversely, Notre Dame-Alabama football was a dog.
But you look at Michigan-Penn State, and here's a great example of what I was saying earlier. That's one where I tuned in to hear you guys in the last few minutes when I saw updates on the score, thanks to a tweet from somebody or looking it up on my phone, wouldn't have normally.
Yeah, but most people don't get it that way. Most people get it by watching a game someplace else. They look at the bottom line of ESPN, or else they cut away like, hey, you won't believe what's going on in this game. Also, like, hey, son of a gun, I better find out.
But that's all part of it, though. But that's all part of it. It's just a different way.
That's not social media. That's watching TV.
No. It's just a different way you're getting the information. I'm just saying the fact that the information's out there, whether it be social media, the web, or on the scroll on the bottom of another network, that's what I'm talking about. That information being out there wasn't out there when you and I were watching TV growing up.
No, it was not out there. And you didn't have the plethora of games that you have out there now either.
That's also true.
I mean, you were confined to whatever game that they gave you. You now have options as a viewer. I mean, if you're a big Philadelphia Phillies fan and you do not want to watch game seven between the Capitals and the Rangers, you're going to watch the Phillies game.
You're a
Phillies fan.
The hardest thing there is trying to figure out what network it's on this particular night.
Right, but see what's happened now, and I really believe this. The major events stand out because the championship is on the line, but people now are more in tune with following their teams than following it as a whole.
No, I agree with that. I'm very much guilty of that, or in that category.
That's not guilty. I think most people have done that. They can tell you everything about. When we were growing up as kids, whether through baseball cards or whatever happened to be, or reading magazines, whatever, look, I could name all the players on all the other baseball teams, all the hockey teams, all the NBA teams, all the NFL teams. Now, obviously, back then, just like history, there was less of it then. There were fewer teams. But I think we're in an era now where people really lock in and follow their team, and they may follow a rival. Because they want to beat that rival so badly. You probably know a lot about the Ravens.
Sure.
Yeah, because you want the Steelers to beat
because
the
Ravens. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, that's right. You make a great point.
Right, but if I ask you about the Houston Texans, you're not quite as sure.
No, that's another good point, because I'm not as familiar with them because they're not A, a rival, or B, my team.
Right. They're not your division either. You listen to Sports Radio New York. And I, you know, and I, when we had Patrick McEnroe on the show back in, when we had PMAC on? January? From Australia?
Yeah, I believe that's when it was.
We had him on from Australia, right? And, you know, and I'm going to be on his show in August, all right? And, you know, as you know, I said, when you do sports radio, he said, look, we talk about the Knicks, we talk about the Giants and Jets, we talk about the Yankees, maybe the Mets. He says, and we talk about the Rangers. That's what they talk about. They don't sit there on New York sports radio and talk about, gee, don't you think it's great what they're doing right now with the Oakland A's? Only time they talk about the A's when they come to town. Wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf is going to make it impossible,
impossible
for you to say no to these huge discounts. Show off your individuality with a 2013 Kia Soul starting at $15,929. Sunbury Motors Kia ordered extra 39 MPG 2012 Kia Optima Hybrids, which are discounted $5,047. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. Built in the USA, 2014 Kia Serenos start at just $22,993. And Sunbury Motors Kia has 18 in stock now. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, the discounts are so huge, it's going to be impossible to say no. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf. And at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Tomorrow, Tony Knopp, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management. We'll try and line up a couple for Kevin to go to the Indianapolis 500.
Yes.
See what we can do. Probably stick you in the Marriott by the airport.
That's fine.
Yeah. I would hope so. It's a four-star hotel.
I don't care. I'll sleep in the car.
Fine. We'll put you in the Choice Inn.
Sounds that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Listen,
have you
the
ever been?
The only thing
have
I
you
look,
ever been?
The only thing I look for in the hotel is just so I don't itch. That's it. I'm not very picky.
I will admit, the first season doing the New York Penn League 2006. You know, I mean, for the most part, I mean, it's up. You know, for the most part, you know, the hotels we stay in for football and basketball are very, very nice. There's some along the way that you're like, okay, you know. Well, in the New York Penn League, you're like, oh. Then we went to Lowell, and there was this beautiful DoubleTree in downtown Lowell. I put my bags down, and like a real brat, I said, now this is what I'm used to.
Excuse me, could you take the bags to the room for Mr. Jones?
No, I take my own bags, but I just like the room.